No, I didn't intentionally use the Empire State Building font for that title. I guess it's just a little bigger than I expected it to be. It's good to see everybody out this morning. I was a little worried that maybe we would be a little light, but I think we're doing pretty well this morning, all things considering. Now, I'm going to say three words here, and I don't want anybody to get excited because we're going to say them a few times, but I know it's kind of became my dog whistle for it's the end of the sermon, so don't get excited. But a moment of truth is a crossroads. It's when you get to a point and you know that I have heard these things and I know these things and I believe these things, and now I'm at a point in time where I have to make a choice. And I have to decide, do I go this way or do I go that way? And we've done it this way. We've called this year a moment of truth for a lot of different reasons, one of which is that we've been going through the Gospel of John, and John presents his gospel that way. John presents the gospel as a moment of truth to say, here's Jesus, and here's the sorts of things that Jesus said, and the sorts of things that he claimed and did, and who he said he was. Do you believe? Will you follow him? Our lives are filled with these sorts of moments of truth where we have to decide, what will you do now? You've heard the truth. You've heard these things. What do you believe? Now is the opportunity. Now is the time. Now is the moment when you have to make a choice. And every week we've been laying out what the text says. Here are all the things that Jesus is saying that he is. Now, what about you? Because it's easy. It's easy for us to just show up and listen and say, yeah, okay, I believe all that. Jesus said all that. Jesus did this. And then we just go back and live our lives as normal. But what if we really decided to choose to follow Jesus? And I want to be real practical over the next few weeks of what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus. What would it look like this week to say that this is my moment of truth and I choose to follow Jesus? What would that look like? So today, and probably for the next 3 weeks, we're going to go through John chapter 13, and we're going to look at some of the things of what Jesus did and what Jesus said, and then we're going to break that down and say, here are some very practical ways to live that out. But at the end, just like we do every week, we're going to ask a question. We are going to have a moment of truth. What will you do with this? What will you do with Jesus? What will I do with Jesus? Will I follow him tomorrow? Will I follow him this week? Again, we'll be in John chapter 13, and we're going to begin in verse 1 today. And this is a story that we all know well, but it's one that I hope that we can look at with fresh eyes and again ask ourselves, will I follow his example? And John begins verse 1 there of John 13. And now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During the supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. It never had dawned on me until this week, while studying this week, that it dawned on me that what Jesus is doing here is really a reenactment of his incarnation. It's really a reenactment of the gospel. He laid aside his outer garments. He took off his robe and laid it aside, and then he wrapped a towel around his waist. Again, he took off his outer garments, his robe, and he laid it aside so that he could take on the form of a servant. Isn't that what the gospel is about? That Jesus did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, so he made himself nothing, to be emptied out, and took on the very form of a servant. In the act of washing his disciples' feet, in the very act of taking off his robe and laying it aside and putting on the towel and going to work, Jesus is acting out, this is who I am. This is everything I am. This is what I'm about. Taking off my robe, putting on the form of a servant, and serving others. and we'll get into this later, but if we're going to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and serve in the footsteps of Jesus and live like Jesus and love like Jesus, then we too are going to have to take off our robes and set them aside. Or we're going to have to take off our ego and lay it aside. It's easy to do good works in ways that make us look good. Or to be worried about, or to be thinking about, or to be focused on. What do people think about me? Do people like me? Do people like what I'm doing? Do I look good doing it? If Jesus teaches us, and Jesus teaches us, if you are going to love like me and live like me and serve like me, you have to take your robe off and you have to lay it aside. You have to set your ego aside. Wrap a towel around your waist and serve like Jesus. Verse 5, it says there that then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that he wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Peter saying, "Lord, Lord, Lord, do you wash feet now? You are the Lord and Master. You are the Messiah. We've been with you all of this time, years now. We've followed you. We've left everything to follow you. And now you wash our feet. What are you doing?" And I know Peter is saying this with his mouth, but I'm sure everyone in the room is thinking the same thing. Again, you have 12 apostles who have taken and essentially thrown everything else they've had out the window and hitched their wagon to this guy, and they've said, "We believe that you are the Lord. We believe that you are going to turn the world upside down. We follow you. You are our deliverer. You are the Messiah, the Savior. You are the King. We're with you." And he takes his robe off, and he wraps the towel around his waist, and he gets down and he starts washing feet. Now that's a little bit challenging for us because we don't live in that culture. And we're also so familiar with this story, but that would be if you thought about the most undignified job in the world. What that would be, that's what Jesus is doing here. The most undignified thing in the world, and you think, nobody that's anybody does that. Nobody that's great gets down and does that. Nobody that's awesome and powerful does something like that. Nobody that's rich or that's a leader, nobody that's glorious or honorable or dignified does that thing. They don't do that job, and that is exactly what Jesus is down there doing. And not only for Jesus, but for all of those who are his followers, it's scandalous that he's down there on the floor washing people's feet. And Peter says, "Lord, do you wash my feet? What are you doing? Get up. Have some dignity, man. Put your robe back on. Take that towel off. What are you trying to accomplish here?" And in verse 7, Jesus answered him, "What I am doing, you do not understand, but afterward you will understand." That, of course, is a theme that's running throughout John, that as Jesus is teaching and saying these things, he tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit is going to come, and later you're going to understand it. You're going to understand what it is that I'm saying to you. And so here in John 13, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you," and notice what Jesus says here, "you have no share with me." Now, John is filled with these sorts of sayings and things that have a double meaning. Like the woman at the well, first they're talking about water, and then they're talking about living water and never thirsting again. Or they're talking with Nicodemus, and we're talking about birth, and then we're talking about being born again. There's these double meanings. And so John 13 continues with Peter saying to Jesus, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." So Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. If that's what it takes to have my share with you, then wash my feet, but don't stop there. My hands, my head, everything." And let's think about what Jesus said, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." That's true not only for Peter, but that's true for everyone. We must allow him to have his way with us. We have to be willing to say, "Have your way with me. Make me into what you want me to be. Cleanse me, shape me, teach me, mold me." And Jesus says, "Unless I cleanse you, unless I transform you, unless I change you, you have no share with me." And again, that's moment of truth type language, isn't it? Will you allow Jesus to clean you? And this foot washing is part of it. This is part of the cleansing process. Teaching them, this is how God wants you to behave. This is what it looks like to lead. This is what it looks like to love. This is what it looks like to serve. This is what it looks like to be my follower. And so Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, not all of you are clean. Now, who is he talking about here? Judas, right? And he knows. And to me, that's the amazing part of the story. I mean, it would be hard in our culture to take your robe off and wrap a towel around yourself and get down on the floor and start doing a job that even a servant felt was beneath him. Not only is Jesus doing that, but that would be hard for any of us, but especially if you could see into the future. Especially if you knew what was about to happen. Especially if you knew that Judas was going to give a kiss later to indicate to the soldiers that Jesus is the one to arrest and to take to jail and to nail to a cross. He understood. He knew that Judas was going to do that, and nothing in the text in John suggests that Jesus skipped over Judas. He washed his feet too. In fact, all the disciples that night would say, I'm not with this guy. And they would take off running. Peter would say it with his mouth. I don't know him. I don't know Jesus. I'm not one of his followers. And after he said that I will go anywhere with you, Lord. I will die for you, Lord. That was about to take place. And you know what Jesus did? He washed their feet anyway. He knew they were broken, that they were weak, and that they were going to betray him. He knew that those same feet would send them running in the opposite direction in just moments. But again, he washed their feet regardless. He knew that Judas's feet would lead those soldiers to arrest him and abuse him and eventually crucify him, but he washed Judas's feet anyway. Verse 12 says, when he had washed their feet, he put on his outer garment and resumed his place. Again, just like the gospel. He emptied himself. He made himself nothing. He took on the form of a servant. And because he was obedient, even to the point of death, God glorified him. And Jesus said, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. This is Philippians 2 type language, and this was Paul's point in Philippians 2. His point wasn't, this is just the sort of leader Jesus is, this is the sort of king Jesus is, or this is just the sort of Messiah Jesus is. Paul's point is if you are a follower of Jesus, this is the sort of mind that you need to have amongst yourselves. If you claim to be someone who follows Jesus, then you need to do the same sort of thing that Paul describes it this way. To consider others to be more significant than yourselves. Who do we consider more significant? Paul says everybody. Everybody. If you want to have the mind of Jesus, then you must consider others to be more significant than yourself so that you don't only look out for your own self-interest, but you look out for the interest of others. That's what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. He said, do you understand what I have done to you? Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me Lord and Master, and you're right. That is exactly who I am. And if I, the Lord and Master, can take off my robe and wrap a towel around myself and get down on my hands and knees and wash your feet, then that's exactly the sort of thing you ought to do. That's exactly the sort of life you ought to live. That's exactly the kind of service and love you ought to render to each other. If God in the flesh could wrap a towel around his waist and wash dirty feet, then those of us who are all people, who are not the Lord and Master, who are not God in the flesh, if he is willing to do all that, how much more so should we ought to be willing to do that? He says, you call me Lord, our teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am so. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example and you also should just do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, and we talked about this before, in Greek, it's amen, amen. And most of the time, somebody gives an amen after somebody says something true, and usually it's given one time. Here, Jesus gives an amen twice, and he gives it to himself. And so he makes this statement, truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. So the question is, I guess, is who do you think you are? Who do we think we are? Who do I think I am? I can't do that. I can't take my dress clothes off and go and do that. I can't roll my sleeves up and go and do something like that for them. I can't go there. I can't do that. That's beneath me. And Jesus says, do you think you're better than me? Do you, the servant, think that you are better than the master? Do you, the disciple, think that you are better than the teacher? If I, the teacher and master, would do this for you, how much more you, the servant, the disciple, the follower, ought to do this for each other? In verse 17 is our moment of truth statement. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And that's hard, isn't it? It's one thing to come and say, amen, amen, Jesus, you are right. We ought to live like that. We ought to do that. We ought to serve each other. I ought to let my ego, or I take my ego off and lay it aside and wrap a towel around my waist and go and serve somebody this week. Jesus says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So that's the question for us this week, is how do we wash feet? I mean, we could literally do that. We could kick off our shoes and we could wash each other's feet. We could do that. But what is Jesus saying? Because what Jesus is acting out here in this scene, he's going to shortly live out on the cross. This washing feet is but pointing forward to his ultimate of laying aside his robe and putting on the form of a servant and dying on the cross in order to save others. In order to serve others, in order to love others, it has a lot more application to it than let's literally wash each other's feet. We can do that, but again, there's much more to it than that. And I want to give us three things to think about as we close. Number one is serve up. When we serve like Jesus and we love like Jesus and we wash feet, we serve up. And what I mean by that is that there's a lot of serving that's condescending. I feel sorry for you. I have lots of money and you don't. I feel sorry for you, so I'm going to serve down to you. I'm going to hand down to you. Not only does it make the person who is receiving the service feel condescended to, and then they say, I don't really like feeling like that when someone pities me. I don't like that feeling. But also, when we pity someone and we serve down to them and we say, I've got a better status than you. I've got a better life than you do, and I feel sorry for you, so I'm going to help you out just a little bit. Well, it kind of makes us feel even better. We feel a little higher up. We feel even better about ourselves because we reached down and we helped out those poor, pitiful souls beneath us. That's not the kind of service that Jesus did. Jesus served up. Jesus took off his robe. He laid aside his dignity. He laid aside his ego and wrapped a towel around himself, and he became a servant and served up. He took the position of humiliation so his disciples could have the position of honor. How often are we willing to do that? To serve up, to take on the position of humiliation, to make ourselves uncomfortable so that the other person feels honored and respected. That's what Paul is telling us to live out in Philippians 2. To consider one another as more significant than yourself. Literally, it means to consider someone else your superior. What if we serve someone that's down on their luck, not because we feel sorry for them, not because we pity them, but because they are an image bearer of God and we respect them, honor them because they are an image bearer of God? What if, as a rich neighbor, they considered their poor neighbor not someone who is just less fortunate than them, but to consider them more significant than themselves, and they honored them in a way that served them? This week, I was just looking at our various things that we support, our food pantry and the clothing giveaway, and we do those ministries, and you were involved in those, not because, or I hope not because, we feel sorry for people, not because we consider ourselves to have it better than them, but because we consider them to be more significant than ourselves. We serve them because Jesus served us. We serve them prayerfully as Jesus served us. That's what it looks like to serve as Jesus served. To take off your robe, to take off your dignity, to take off your ego and lay it aside and put on a servant's towel and serve. Consider others to be more significant than yourself. Number two is serve now. Take the initiative. A lot of times we wait and we say, man, somebody needs to do something about that. I'm tired of this going on and not being done. And we wait and we wait and we wait thinking somebody's got to step up and do something about this. But what if that somebody is you? What if we took the initiative? We didn't wait. We didn't say somebody needs to wash these feet. That we just laid aside our robes, put on a towel, and started washing. That's what it is to be a follower of Jesus. It's that we don't just serve up, we serve now. We serve now, and we do so with the needs that need to be done for the reason of that it needs to be done. Because we have the opportunity and the ability to do it, we just do it. About a year ago, a boy from Michigan lived in a neighborhood that had a lot of potholes. In fact, his mother and grandmother were going along and hit one, and it damaged their car. And one afternoon, the boy's mom was at work, and she got a phone call and said, I had just seen this video on Facebook, and it sort of looks like your son. And so she checks it out, and she sees her 12-year-old son going into the backyard and getting shovels of dirt and filling in the holes himself. Now, his mom had no idea that he was going to do that, and the video eventually went viral. He just saw something that needed to be done. When asked why, the boy replied, I don't want somebody else's car to get damaged the way my mom's car did. And it's as simple as that, isn't it? You just do it. Sometimes it's really easy in Western Christianity when we think about church and we think the church ought to do something about that. And by the church, we usually mean somebody else, right? We mean the elders or the deacons or the ministers. Somebody from the church needs to do something about that. But you know what I'm going to say, don't you? Guess what? We are all somebodies from the church. We are the church. We are the church, and when we see something that needs to be done, absolutely get other people involved, but let's get it done. Let's serve now. And then finally this morning, serve regardless. Sometimes we don't serve because we are afraid what the reaction will be. Sometimes we don't serve because we are afraid it won't get reciprocated. I always kind of enjoyed our Wednesday night classes with the middle school boys, because you never knew sometimes what you were going to hear. But sometimes someone said so-and-so was being really rude to them. She won't say hello to me. And I said, well, that's crazy that they won't even say hello to you. That is rude. You said hello to her, and she looked at you and absolutely said nothing in return. And he said, well, no, I didn't say hello to her. Why? Well, because I didn't think she would say hello back. And I said, well, how do you know that she's not somewhere telling this same story to somebody else about you not saying hello to her? How often do we not do things that need to be done because we're afraid it won't be reciprocated? I'm not going to serve them because I know how they are. I'm not going to serve them because I know what they will really do. Or I'm not going to serve them because I know what they won't do. Number one is we don't know. And number two, that's not our jobs. To serve based on the contingency of it being reciprocated, Jesus laid aside his robe, put on a towel, and washed the feet of men who would soon abandon him and deny him and betray him. He served regardless of those things. Do we do the same thing? Sometimes I think when we think of things like the giveaway and the pantry, and it would be real easy to say we are only going to serve those people in these ways if they become Christians and they attend church right here in this building. If they don't become Christians and they don't go to church here, then we are not going to do these things. But we don't do that. We serve because it needs done. Yes, we want them to be followers of Jesus. And yes, we want this to be their church home. But we are going to serve them regardless because it needs to happen. It needs to be done. Wouldn't it be freeing? Maybe it's a relative who has hurt you in some way that you are afraid they're afraid that they will hurt you. What if you served them anyway? To say, listen, I'm not in charge of this outcome, and I don't know how this is all going to work out after I served you. I don't know if this is going to change their hearts, but serve them regardless because Jesus has served us. I'm going to serve them because Jesus has served me. I'm going to serve them as Jesus served me. Serve up serve now, serve regardless. But here's our moment of truth question today, is whose feet will you wash this week? You know these things. Blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are we if we do them. It's not enough to know this is the sort of Savior Jesus is. It's not enough to know this is the sort of Lord Jesus is. This is the sort of King Jesus is. He is calling us to follow Him. He is calling us to take off our robe and lay it aside and put on the servant's towel and wash feet. And the same thing that happened to Jesus will happen to us. We will be glorified. God will lift us up when we are followers of Jesus. When we say, this is my new lifestyle. My new lifestyle is following Jesus in self-giving love and faithfulness. This is the way I'm going to live, that I am going to trust that God will do for me what He did for Jesus. He will lift me up. He will resurrect me, and I will be glorified with Jesus. I believe those things, and because I believe those things, I live this way. That's what we are initially committing to when we go into baptism. And we say, I'm with you, Jesus. I'm ready to take off my robe and put on my towel and wash people's feet. But along the way, we can get a little distracted. Along the way, people start telling us to put on this robe or put on that robe. Take a selfie with this robe on. Do this, and it will make you feel better about yourself. Lift yourself up because nobody else is going to. And as Christians, we have to say, you're wrong. Somebody else will. God will lift me up. If I humble myself, He will exalt me. So I'm going to take off my robe and wrap a towel around myself and wash feet, trusting Him to save me. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and maybe you are ready to commit for the first time and be baptized with Jesus. Maybe you need to recommit to that sort of living. Maybe you know of a way to serve that isn't being done. Wash feet this week because Jesus has washed you. This morning, if you're not a Christian and need to make that decision, we urge you to come as together we stand and we sing.